It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Welcome to Declare Your Independence. I'm Ernest Hancock here in Phoenix, Arizona from the beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. Now, we got scheduled today. We're going to have Robert Prechter come on from Elliott Wave. Now, Elliott Wave is, you know, Sierra's getting him on right now. What I want to do is I want to make sure that you have an understanding of what this means and how now's a good time to have Robert Prechter come on because he's been predicting that there's going to be deflation in a lot of ways. And we're going to talk about that because I think we're right on the edge of it. Here we go. So we want to have Bob Prechter on to tell us about it before it happens so he gets all the street cred. I got you there, Bob?
You got me. How you doing, Ernie?
I'm doing good, man. It's good to talk to you. Go ahead and give the audience a quickie on Elliott Wave and what you guys do over there. It's ELLIOTT, ElliottWave.com. Now, go ahead and, if I got that right, let's go ahead and make sure we get your website out. Go ahead and give it out.
No, that's correct. ElliottWave.com. Two L's and two T's in Elliott Wave, as on the ocean.com.
Go ahead and explain to people what the – we've been talking to you for, wow, 5, 6, 7 years, and, you know, it's always when it's unexpected that Bob's right. So let's go ahead and talk about the Elliott Wave and then how you think
that – That's about right. Yeah, people are always it's always unexpected when I'm right because I do make a lot of mistakes too. But it's always a pleasant surprise, right, Ernie?
Not necessarily.
Sometimes it's an unpleasant surprise for some people. Look, the wave principle is simply a model of the way financial prices move. And R.N. Elliott, I would use the word discovered this back in the 1930s. He was an accountant. He studied the stock market, and he found that the patterns that he saw on the very short term, he kept an hourly chart. He, of course, had daily charts from the journal and stuff like that, all the way up to annual bar charts going back to the mid-1800s, and he said, I keep seeing the same patterns at all degrees. He was the first person to realize that stock prices move in the form of what we now call a fractal, where the irregularities are the same at all degrees of scale, but in his case, he found that the smaller patterns were building blocks of the larger ones, so they're self-similar fractal. What does that mean? Means that the news is not buffeting the market around despite what everybody thinks. Human psychology is patterned. People are herding toward the upside. They're herding back to the downside. And these changes in mood that people are sharing and causing them to buy stocks and sell stocks and then buy them and sell them back and forth is mostly due to a shared mood. And those changes appear to be natural changes that arise when human beings interact with each other in a social setting. And this is the basic driver of stock prices. It's also the basic driver of lots of other human behavior. We can talk about cultural trends that social mood influences, and most importantly, macroeconomic trends. And this is why the stock market changes precede changes in the economy.
Okay, now this is a good point before we get to the first break. I want people to understand this. What fascinated me about this before was that I would watch, you know, a chaos theory or, you know, the beat of a butterfly's wing changes where a typhoon goes in Asia 10 years from now kind of thing. Right. Small changes affect a large impact in the future. Well, instead of the stock prices or stock numbers or the fundamentals of the stock market having an impact on human behavior, the argument that you're making seems to be that it's human behavior that is the primary focus that causes the stock market to change. It's kind of the other way around. And
it's 100% the other way around.
So I'm looking at, you know, from this standpoint, is that you can see, even because I remember in previous interviews years ago, I'd ask you, I go, but what about corruption? What about bad laws? What about, he goes, yeah, that's all part of human behavior. So you're looking at a macro, just humanity as an organic system, just like the weather, just like the tides, just like the powers of the solar system. I mean, whatever. Our influence is 6 billion minds interacting in the market is what determines the market. And go ahead and extrapolate from that so we kind of get a base understanding before we go on.
Right. Well, most people would say that the whole human social system is like a 6 billion billiard balls all going around bouncing into each other, and it's semi-random, and when one hits another, the other one reacts. And therefore, it's like chaos theory where butterfly wings affect a typhoon somewhere else because small changes affect changes elsewhere. And I'm perfectly fine with that in terms of the everyday occurrences within society on an individual level, and one person affects another, and one thing might prompt someone to go take a certain action. But on the broader movements, this is not the case. You can't say, you know, for example, that wars happen because one guy got assassinated. Those kind of events happen all the time. There's no correlation you can make between one of those events and something else. But what you can show is that these big waves of social mood, where people get into a positive mood trend for many years, make stock prices go up, make popular music more happy, get the economy in an expansion mode because people are taking more risks and getting more productive. All of that happens together. And then on the other side of the pattern, you can see that social mood is making people more conservative. What do? They sell stocks. They pull in their horns on their businesses. Yeah, they have different tastes in music and entertainment. All of that is moving together. It's not simply a bunch of billiard balls. This is a larger, one-directional influence from social mood to social action. And I can sum it up for people this way. Most people would say, for example, that changes in the economy and changes in the stock market affect the social mood of people. And what I'm saying is, no, it's the social mood changes that are causing the changes in the stock market and the economy, or even peace and war.
So now we're looking into the future, and using Elliott Wave theory tools, what you have available on your site and what you're advocating, we have what to look forward to.
All right. This is a fascinating thing. Back in the 1930s, when R.N. Elliott started, he labeled the progression of waves going all the way back to the American Revolution, which, by the way, coincided very closely to a major bottom in stock prices in England. So at that major low, they had an ineffectual government under King George III. They lost the colonies to a bunch of ragtag freedom fighters, and that was their, you know, bad fortune that negative social mood brought about in England at the time. And from that point started a five-wave structure. Elliott noticed that markets move in five waves when going in the direction of the one larger trend, three waves when going against. He labeled those in 1835 as the top of the first big move. We had two depressions ending in 1859. That was the first correction, or wave two. Wave three carried us all the way into 1929. Then we had the crash and the Great Depression. That was the fourth wave. He said there's another giant wave to come. In one of his essays, he said it should last to about 2012, which I think is pretty incredible. He said there's going to be plenty of setbacks along the way, bear markets, recessions, he said, but no Great Depression until about that time.
Wow, and here she comes. Well, we're going to go ahead and talk about, you guys stay tuned, you see this is going to get interesting. You know, what happens if there's a system out there to kind of, you know, just takes a look back over the long term and says, you know, we're just part of the biology of the universe. Well, we're going to talk about it. It's interesting to think about. We'll be back with Robert Prechter from ElliottWave.com in just a little bit here on Declare Your Independence.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Propaganda, you can liberate the babies from their candy. It's so easy, it's a sin, you're gonna want to jump right in. You can always depend on propaganda.
Oh, there's a lot of propaganda out there. You know, we're trying to, you know, cut through the crap here on Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, my very, very, very special guest, Robert Prechter from ElliottWave.com. Two L's, two T's. Now, I want to go ahead and get right to, we only have you for a limited time, one more segment here, so I want to make sure that we get right to it. Now, we have Elliot that, you know, back in whenever says, look, man, I see the cycle on this, and it goes to about 2012. Okay. So,
yeah, pretty cool call.
Well, what are we looking at? What was he predicting? And, you know, you've been advocating, you know, there's going to be a big, giant reduction in prices. We're going to have a deflation. You know, define that, you know. Help us out.
All right, let's start with the R.N. Elliott thing. He wrote this piece on August 25th, 1941. Now, think about that. We had just gotten involved in World War II. People were scared to death. The Axis powers were in the ascendant at the time. We had just come out of a Great Depression, and now we were in a global war. All right? Think about that, how people felt. And he came out and said, look, the bear market is basically over. It bottomed in 1932. We're going to make another low here in 1941. It actually occurred in April 42, a few months later. He said, and then we're going to go up and up and up for decades. He drew it out to top approximately 20. He wrote 2012, and I think that's pretty good. We're hanging up here in 2011, still in quintuple digits in the Dow Industrial Average. But he said, look, that is what we call a super cycle. It's a very long, multi-decade advance in stock prices, in optimistic mood, and all those things that create prosperity. But then it's going to turn to the downside. We're going to have another repeat of something like 1929 to 1932. So that's what I've been writing my book about. That's what Conquer the Crash was about, which I wrote in 2002. And I said, you need to prepare. Real estate's going to drop by 90%. Of course, it's down about 40-plus now. I think it's about halfway to the goal.
Whoa. You said 90% reduction in real estate?
I said that in 2002. That was before everything peaked out. Yeah.
Wow.
And well, of course, if you're in Las Vegas, you know, it's already down at, 68? It's pushing 70. So, you know, these are highly rare events, but it's something that people are only sensitized to if you study history and if you study the waves and realize, when are we at these points of extreme optimism when the only direction you can go is down? You remember 1999. Ernie, I'm sure on your show you were talking about the economists who were telling us it was a new economy. Remember that phrase?
Oh, I didn't start radio 2003, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, okay. And the Fed and the Greenspan is like a maestro. They called him the maestro because he was there with his baton just, you know, directing the economy in perfect tune. They call it the Goldilocks economy. There's so many ways they were expressing that optimism. It was ridiculous. And I was writing a book at the time called The Wave Principle of Human Social Behavior, and I said, this is what peak optimism feels like, folks. Now we're going to go into a multi-year period where you're going to have setbacks, you're going to have more conflict, it would probably result in wars before you're over, you're going to have declining stock prices, declining real estate prices, and everything else. We're still in that period, and we are we're just passing the midpoint. So we've had the initial kind of shocks where people were very surprised that, you know, debt started to implode, real estate prices went down. But I think the real thing that people have to prepare for is the deflationary period. There have been subtle deflation going on, especially in the real estate area and in some other areas as well. But the real hit, I think, is coming between 2011 and 2016. And that's where you need to be prepared right now, basically.
For what? I mean, you say, you know, deflation, inflation, you know, define each of those terms and how you think it's going to manifest itself for Joe Public.
Yeah. Inflation and deflation have to do, at least in my view, with the total amount of money and credit in the system. When there's too much credit, as there has been in many bubbles in the past, people default, credit implodes, prices fall back to below normal, and that's the crash period. We've had the greatest buildup in IOU issuance in the history of the world in the last 15 years. It's just been unbelievable. They were, as you know, they were selling houses to people that were literally flat broke and couldn't even make the first payment. So they made 110% loan so they could make a payment or two so they could package it up and sell it to these pension fund managers, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, that is an extreme in credit, and that's why the housing market is deflating earliest and fastest, because it was all held up, or mostly held up, by credit, and most of it was bad credit. And now the problem there is that, guess what? Mortgages are the basis of our depository money system. If you go to the bank and everybody walks up at once and says, I want my money, the bank's going to say, I'm sorry, we don't have it, but we do have this nice vault full of mortgages. You want to, you know, you can tear off your portion if you like. So our whole money supply is at extreme risk, and so are the banks. You need to make sure you get liquid to avoid the ultimate results of deflation, which is to lose the value in your stocks, to lose the value in your real estate, and ultimately to lose the value in your bank account.
Okay, so we're looking at the same time we have people screaming that, so we have the common definition. Inflation, increase in the money supply. A lot of people will look at and go,
Money plus credit.
Okay. So you're saying available, I get to go buy.
Yes.
Okay. So as I get to go buy goes away, that's going to have an influence on commodities, prices of stuff, everything. So you're saying that there is going to be a reduction in prices, and mainly, I guess, because people don't have a job.
And they won't have a job because all the IOUs that are supporting the system are going to start imploding. And that's what happened in 2008. The Fed stepped in and said, oh, my God, we need the government to guarantee all this bad paper. Had they not done that, you know, we probably would have gone into a free fall right at that point. But instead, they simply delayed it and are, of course, making it much worse because they're guaranteeing really lousy debt that stupid people decided to invest in, and they're the ones that should have paid the price. But no, they made the taxpayer come in and guarantee all of it. So the Fed has created an extra $1.2 trillion worth of new dollars. That's new inflation-created money. But the problem is that there's a whole lot more in terms of IOUs out there. The debt that's ready to implode is bigger than the Fed's money supply. And to me, that is what is going to cause the ultimate contraction, and the ultimate result is going to be deflation.
Well, just in the
fall
last...
in general price, which will result in a fall in general prices. But people won't feel rich because they won't have jobs and they won't have any money.
Well, unless they got a bunch of something else. But, you know...
Right. And if they follow the instructions and conquer the crash, they'll be one of the few people like Bernard Baruch and Joe Kennedy who came through that whole thing unbelievably wealthy because they didn't get stuck in those things. And I'm telling people how to do that in the book.
Conquer the Crash by Robert Prechter. Now, the thing is that I'm looking at what's happening from Joe Sixpack. He's out there. He's looking at this. He's not quite understanding what's going on, inflation, deflation, back and forth. And just recently, or last few days, this the news of $600 trillion in derivatives sitting out there needing to balance itself out. What impact does that have?
It's huge. You know, the derivatives are part of the problem because every one of them is either an IOU or an IOU if. If X happens, I'm going to owe you money. Well, X is very likely to happen because a lot of these derivatives pay off when disaster strikes. So they're going to be, that's more debt that's going to be piled onto the system from people who can't pay it.
Oh, yep. That's what we got to go look forward to. Elliot, ELLIOTT Wave, WAVE.com. ElliotWave.com. Thanks to Robert Prechter giving us some heads up. You guys need to know this. Yep. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Playing some Pink Floyd here and declare your independence of me, Ernest Hancock, because I can. Because I can. You know, that's good enough reason right there. You know, the one thing I wanted to make sure that you got from Bob Prechter is that he's going to be included in the next edition of Freedom's Phoenix Digital Magazine. And he has some stuff he wants to do generally on freedom. You know, this is, you know, he has an opinion. He's been a real supporter of Freedom's Phoenix. He's one of our first advertisers back in the day. And a lot of times, there's a lot of people that would be critical of his views, okay? Now, even though You know, being right doesn't matter if it's not what you want. And a lot of times his opinion will overlap with a lot of the other guys, you know, but this is the one thing that I found fascinating. There is a, I wouldn't say if it's a, I mean, you just look at the past track record. I mean, you know, you look at a macro view of the planet and there are, you know, waves. You see patterns and they call them fractals. I first became exposed to this concept, and Butler Schaefer talks about this a lot too, in chaos theory, spontaneous order, that kind of thing. You know, and a lot of people, they'll look at fundamentals. There are fundamentals that are involved in this happens every freaking time, that's the way it is, you can't get away from it. Very valid, very true. The problem is that what caused the fundamentals? You know, it doesn't happen in a vacuum. Something did that. Can you predict human behavior? Well, I mean, you know, it's very spontaneous. Man, it just, woo, man, up from out of the blue. But do you get the Matrix? It was a perfect example. If you have billions of minds plugged into the Matrix, there's a high propensity that one of them is going to be like, hey, man, I'm taking red pills. So that was the point in the Matrix trilogy, is that they go, hey, man, by the time you get through the second or third one, they're going, look, man, you're number 6-7. You know, we've been going through this cycle. We in fact, there's such a variable that sooner or later, the people rise up. They rise up that we have created a steam valve for that very thing. We created, you know, hear me, Zion. I'm, you know, and that's down where it's warm in the core and the people kind of hide and think they're autonomous from the controls of, and then here comes the machines. We have been fighting this machine for 100 years, okay? The opening that we have at the top of each hour is Morpheus in the cave in the second Matrix movie. That's where that comes from. It's a cycle. That's why they call it revolution. It goes round and round and round and repeats. So I remember there was Nova, PBS, History Channel, whatever it was. It was a special years ago. I mean, it must have been at least a decade ago that I saw where they were talking about chaos theory and how small changes have an enormous impact years, if not decades, if not century, if not millennia into the future. How? When you introduce certain concepts, realizations at a formative stage, and you see this in science fiction a lot, you see L. Neil Smith's probability brooch. That whole book was on the idea of one word got changed in a parallel universe, changed the entire course of history. It was the word unanimous. In the Declaration of Independence, it said consent of the governed. I think it was Ben Franklin that convinced Thomas Jefferson to take unanimous consent out and just make it consent. Jefferson understood. He's going, no, if you got one guy doesn't like it, you know, it's like it doesn't apply to him. Well, they're going, no, we need to have it a majority kind of thing. You know, consent of the governed, what the heck that means. So Jefferson's first instinct was unanimous consent. Look, man, if I don't consent to it, guess what? It doesn't apply to me. Well, you know, the politically correct thought was, you know, invaded humanity since forever, including here comes Ben Franklin. So what L. Neil Smith had in the book, The Probability Brooch, the parallel universe where you would go and there would be much more freedom, a totally different society based on non-coercion, was because during the Whiskey Rebellion, after the Constitution and here comes George Washington and so on, because in that parallel universe, unanimous was left in the Declaration of Independence, it had an impact on the Whiskey Rebellion guys and they refused to surrender and George Washington was hung as a traitor to the revolution. Totally different mindset, different direction that was taken because of one word. This is why we spend so much time on things like the Arabic revolutions going on in Arabia, in Arabic-speaking countries in the Middle East. We knew that if we could inject just a little bit in Arabic, the philosophy of liberty, you know, 14-year-olds and them get, you know, we already had an impact that's going to last forever and always, and we may already be seeing the manifestation of that. Certainly within, I don't know, a few years, decades, centuries, because somebody took the time to have this concept infecting that generation next. Here we have the easing. There have been a lot of people commenting. You know, they're very complimentary of it. Some people have criticisms, yeah, back and forth, back and forth. But a lot of the criticisms comes from people that they don't understand the function of the easing to begin with. I want to explain this to you because this is important to know. We'll be going to Porkfest, P-O-R-C-F-E-S-T 2011.com. Porkfest as in Porcupine Festival, so P-O-R-C, not K. Porkfest 2011.com. The big advantage to going to so many activists that are, it has nothing to do with whether voting or not or who and candidates and all that. That's not the point. They're sharing the truth, their perspective in creative ways from a base foundational cultural aspect of this country, of their generation. That is the future. This agorist mentality that what's going to survive after all this crap that has been built up on supposedly a foundation of freedom of the Declaration of Independence in this country, or just a concept that people could even support or have, you know, written such a document. I mean, just that in and of itself, as we're going into the 4th of July here, you know, to support what? You know, it's reclaim it. It's not about, you know, how much fireworks we have and so on, you know, going off with a permit, you know, from the man downtown. I mean, come on, you know, Adam Kokesh, you know, has a piece that kind of talks about that. So what we want to do is we wanted to make sure that we had the ability to virally take this PDF file, less than 5 megabytes, 83 pages, less than 5 megabytes that you could email to everybody and their grandmother. Go to Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com right now. You go there and you'll see at the top right a link to the magazine. Now, subscription gives you all kinds of different, you know, interactive ability with, you know, blah, 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 a lot more tools and so on. And we're doing tutorials to detail that because it's way more than you can understand from me just telling you. Because, I mean, a damn, 6 years we built this thing on to make every one of you, an individual, the most effective activist in your community with clicks of a mouse. Yeah, you don't think so? Yeah, you start watching tutorials and they start coming because we've been doing this because I know. I don't think I know, man. I've been nose to grindstone neck going up against the biggest guys since forever. And I'm telling you, you know, I know what tools I needed, what I'd like to do, and what made it a lot easier and faster for me to do it. We have created the site, not just to serve exactly what I wanted, but to make sure that you get all the tools that I enjoy. And, you know, the people that subscribe to Freedom Speaks, man, it's like, woo, man, I have this. Well, we're going to be detailing it in the tutorials. We're starting to do them now. You know, there's so much stuff that we have to do to make sure that we have them to be able to demonstrate to you so that you can make use of them. But when we come back, I'll tell you what the foundation of this whole easing thing is and why and what we expect to happen in the future because of... It's just a butterfly wing. Oh, but here comes a typhoon. You stay right there. We'll be right back.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Wow! 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 I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I
wouldn't. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
So good.
There's so much going on behind the scenes. Sierra and I are working very hard along with a lot of the other guys. I give credit to Alex. You know, he does a lot of the postings. Trevor, he does a lot. Travis does a lot of posting. You know, it's and a lot of the other editors on we have, you'll see a lot of the content that goes up there. There's a lot of work behind the scenes. The easing, as we're putting together the July edition right now, has a function that a lot of people may not understand. Think of this. When we started doing our Arabic version of Freedom's Phoenix, there was an enormous increase in traffic that came from Arabia on our Twitter account. It was closed down, suspended. We now have, I keep getting these little things I don't even know why, I don't even look, don't care. The third segment of the most recent interview we did with Karen Kwiatkowski on our YouTube video portion of this, the audio was turned off. Audio turned off. I didn't even know they could do that. Then we have, this video section of this, of your interview that, I did on NBC affiliate with video of my own TV in my living room of an interview of me was cut off because it was going on about the TARP and I knew what was coming and they didn't like that, none too much. 2 years later, 2.5 years later, they turned it off. I am seeing this constriction coming. And yesterday we played portions of the video of Alex Jones talking, I think it was in Chicago or something, I don't remember what it was, of Talker Magazine had a talk show host and station owners there that he's going, look, let me tell you what's coming. It's not just these social medias that they're going to be censoring. It's you. You're going to be desperate for so much for money that the government is going to give you programming. They only need this public service announcement. Heck, we just got 6 hours of government propaganda. And you're going to go, oh, thank you for letting me stay in business. So these are the things that are coming. What we were able to do with the easy, because we found out in the digital media that's coming, the tablets, you can start seeing the advertising for that. We knew this was going to explode. The smartphones, the capacity of them, there are computers in your hand. We have been, my generation, heck, we thought we'd already had this by the time we became adults in the early 90s, because we were watching Star Trek in the late 60s. We thought, and probably would have happened had it not been for all this suppression of crap by the government. But the tighter your fist, the more star systems that leak out between your fingers, Mr. Darth Vader. Here we go. We knew that even, Captain Kirk's there on these digital iPads. Remember? Going around signing stuff and everything. Then, of course, next generation, it's even more, looks more like what we got now. So once this ability to transfer files, aside from the internet, that it could be either emailed or you can just do it with a memory key or, infrared Bluetooth and direct connecting from my phone to iPhone or whatever digital device, iPads, the Zooms, the Androids, the Playbooks, the BlackBerry, whatever, here we go. It's like having a truckload of 1960s, 70s anti-war flyers that were ditto mimeograph machine printed, whatever, that passing out from individual to individual. What are they attacking more than anything else? Peer-to-peer communication. That is the biggest threat. That is what they want to stop, and that is what they want to get their fingers into, even with digital magazines, especially with digital magazines. As we started going into this, we're like, cool, man, here we go. Let's do it, man. Ooh, can't wait. What did we find out? They want you to create a file using their software. Now, there's a lot of software, but to publish it, they call it digital publishing. Now, you can create it in PageMaker, Illustrator, enhanced PDFs that do yada, 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 yada. But how do you distribute it? Well, most people don't have a site like Freedom's Phoenix to where they can be interactive, where you have links from the digital magazine that go directly to the website so you can do letters to the editor, you can comment, you can get more material, you can read it as a subscriber in a traditional format that's easier for your computer. But the digital magazine really is made for tablets and smartphones and Kindles, and notebooks, all these other things that we're, formatting it for. So people complain and say, hey, look, man, when I go look at this on my computer, I'd rather just do it in the traditional, fine. $5 a month subscription. Go ahead and you can read any way you want on the website. Ha, 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 ha. But the e-zine is free. It is a viral package. And the first edition had over 30 of the best, the brightest, the people that really go give what fur to the love evolution that's be a coming. Generation Next. To set this, think about it. 4 years ago, what would they have given to have an influence on the new minds coming into the movement? Surrounding Dr. Paul's campaign or just the libertarianism in general, or the bad guys are just being bad. How are you going to have that influence? We offered that to them because in at least a small way, we have a conduit into Generation Next. the Lovolution. That's why it's so important you have guys like Michael Nystrom from Daily Paul participating. You know, you have a lot of the, you know, Gary Franchi. You know, you have a lot of, you know, Pete Iyer. You know, these people that are connected, and a lot of people are going to be visiting at porkfest2011.com. This is why we did this and why we're doing the 4th of July edition. We'll be taking the philosophy of the first edition and enacting it. This is how we are doing what we were talking about here. Then the August edition is about surviving. We've been doing a lot of videos of a lot of people growing for months since February. We've been interviewing all kinds of people, doing all kinds of growing activities and different things. Last night, my wife and I finally growing up the seedlings and so on and got them shipped and internet. And here they come out there. We planting our tobacco plants. I got them in. Am I breaking the law? I don't know. But, you know, they can come get me. Hello. You know, we're going to roll our own cigars. And what, you know, what, you're not allowed to sell them. Well, I give them away free. In the box that we made that cost. Whatever. I mean, you come on. You know, it's just, it's like when we were doing the Lovolution. Oh, you campaign finance reports. You got to, like, no, I don't. I have nothing to do with the campaign. We can do whatever we want. It's called First Amendment. If they want to challenge that, let's go. Rock and roll, man. When they first started doing this free speech zone crap, man, first thing, we stepping outside. Come arrest us. Take us. Well, they did. Damn it. Now, what happens is this ability to share a PDF file that we will do our best to keep it in the digital format, low-res version, under 5 megabytes. This last one was 3.6 megabytes. It's 83 pages. So I'm sure we're going to be able to keep it down even under 3 megabytes. They have a quality view of this thing. You take a 3-megabyte file, that is nothing. Nothing. I remember we used to have a big bread box. You know, I mean, it's like this big to be able to have 5 more megabytes on our TRS-80 computers back in the late 80s, early 90s. Now that's nothing. You know, 5 gigabyte, you know, heck, I'm just, you know, this is, the technology has gone plaid, man. It's way out there. 3-megabyte files that you can share with a mass emailing to everybody you know. That's where this is going. And it's a forever file. It's never going away. It's on people's computers right now. They could take a nuclear device to Freedom's Phoenix, and it's still out there forever. That was the point. In the 60s and 70s, what did you do? Man, you got down in the basement, and we got an AB Dick 360 out here. We do between 5 and 9,000 pages an hour. We've used that a lot. And we may need to in the future. And we do it on a regular basis for a lot of printed material that we do. But I'm telling you this, the ability to take this information and put it in a digital format that can be read autonomous from the internet, not connected to anything, a digital device that will have concentrated, you know, it'll have the impact of Common Sense by Thomas Paine. We know this. And what happens when it's translated into 39 languages as Freedom's Phoenix is now? You think we weren't thinking about the future? The future. We're taking a flag and we're sticking it out in the future. You think bad guys aren't going to be bad? Oh, it's just starting. It's just starting. And what platform are you going to have to communicate that can't be stopped? Well, I don't know. We're trying this. We're making sure we got something. There'll be others. There may be even telepathy. You know, whatever. But, you know, this is what we're doing now. We're planting our flag out there and then interfacing it with the internet as long as we can. Still has a YouTube. Links to the articles. You can do comments, letters to the editor, whatever. Interfaces and your subscriber. You can read it traditionally on your PC. But that was not the point. That's a service to them. The PDF file is a forever thing infecting the injection of the libertarian infection into the bone marrow of American politics, for which there is no cure. We'll be right back. Leap next. Well, hello. This is Ernest Hancock, host of Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, weekdays here on LRN.FM radio. We'll be broadcasting the show live from Porcupine Festival 2011, Monday through Friday, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern. We're looking forward to featuring the best and the brightest minds of the Liberty Movement live from Porkfest 2011. Get a full schedule of presentations and activities at PORC. FEST2011.com. PorkFest2011.com offers a full schedule of activities from Monday, June 20th through Sunday, the 26th. PorkFest 2011 will entertain you and provide you a real-world demonstration of life free of coercion, a life of peace and prosperity. Come share in the Lovelution PorkFest 2011, an experience to benefit your spirit. Be sure to visit us at the Freedom's Phoenix site in Agoura Valley. We know the truth. Join us at PorkFest 2011, and so will you.